Intentional Mom friends, this is Val Harrison, the Practically Speaking Mom. You're listening to episode 195 of the Practically Speaking Mom podcast, the place for intentional moms to build strong families. This is week 2 on raising emotionally wise kids and teens. We're looking at 5 steps to manage our emotions in a way that leads us toward wholeness. So let's get going. Last week on the podcast, I told you that this week we would be having a conversation between myself and my son, Andrew. We would be talking about growing confident kids. That was the plan, but has been postponed because I felt that we need to spend some additional time on this topic of emotion management. After last week's podcast, I began getting feedback and questions from moms about how to raise emotionally wise kids and questions also just on helping mom to manage her emotions. Then also, God gave me a chart right away after I published last week's episode. So I went ahead and I made that chart and I put it out last Monday. The chart is 5 steps to emotion management on the road to wholeness. You can find the chart in our Facebook group that's called Intentional Mom Strong Family, or you can find the chart on my public Facebook or Instagram pages that is at Practically Speaking Mom. I'll also put a link in the show notes to this, or you can also find it under resources on my website, Practically Speaking Mom. And finally, before we get started, I'm also praying about next week. We might do another episode on this topic of raising emotionally wise kids and teens. If we do, it will be with my daughter, Abby. She and I have been discussing this topic and we're going to try to record this weekend together. So if we get that done, then that's what next week will be. Otherwise, we will move on to our topic of confident kids with my son, Andrew. So either way, next week will be great. But today, let's dive in to the 5 steps to manage our emotions in a way that leads to wholeness. Now, while you're listening to all of this, I know you'll be thinking regarding you as mom, because that's what my illustrations are going to be about today, but please don't just take this in for yourself. Also, teach it to your kids. Our goal is to raise strong kids that are ready for the things that come at them in life and that will have strong relationships. And they do that by the skills that they learn now today. So let's get going. Step 1 is stop and identify. Step 2 is evaluate. Step 3 is meet the root need. Step 4 is mend the wounds. Step 5 is make a plan for management and growth about that emotion. So let's go through these 5. If this sounds familiar to you, if these 5 steps sound familiar to you, it's because last week I did do all 5 of these steps. I just dispersed them throughout the episode and I didn't spell out clearly for you. And I thought that we could benefit from a week of plain and simple clarity on these 5 steps today. I'm even hoping that you may be able to memorize the 5 steps by the end of this episode. Okay, before I break down the steps with you, I have to focus on the final word of the title, 5 steps to manage emotions on the road to wholeness. Let's take a brief look at the word wholeness. My husband Rich and I have been on a mission the last several years, a mission to continually be becoming more whole. Me become more whole, him become more whole, our relationship to have less breaks and wounds and any depleted parts of it. We're on a road to wholeness all around. So let me explain that. When we began overhauling our marriage from unhealthy to healthy, God gave us this 2-part vision of oneness and wholeness, those 2 things. If you want to hear about oneness in marriage, you can go back and listen to a former episode. In the show notes this week, I will list several different episodes that I refer to in this podcast episode. So anyway, that will be one of them, is an earlier episode on marriage oneness. The second part of our mission in overhauling our marriage was walking toward wholeness. Wholeness is completeness. It is lacking nothing. It is free of brokenness. It is fully restored. Wholeness is functioning at optimal strength and stability. Our mission became to help one another become more whole. In all we say and do and decide from day to day, we want our actions, our attitudes, and our words to bring healing and strength for one another and for our relationship. We are always on the lookout for identifying any part of us that is depleted, that is empty, that's hollow, that feels broken or injured, that needs mending. You could say that we gradually developed the mental habit of filtering our actions and words through the following question: will this increase or decrease wholeness in me? Or will this increase or decrease wholeness in Rich if I say that or do that or treat him that way? How will that impact who he is? Or will this action, attitude, word, decision, how will it impact our relationship? Will it help it to strengthen and grow and become more whole? Or will it cause division potentially? So let's call that mental habit of testing our actions, attitudes, and words. Let's call that our habit of wholeness, okay? As we began to reap the great benefits of the habit of wholeness in each other and in our marriage, we then began to adopt this philosophy in our kids and all of the relationships in our home, okay? So that means sibling to sibling relationship or parent-child relationship or, you know, just teaching kids about all the relationships that they have. We wanted them to also adopt this paradigm of the habit of wholeness. And I want to say right here real quick too, that we won't ever reach complete wholeness on earth. We will someday in heaven, but we will not before then. But we can be on the road to wholeness. We can be in the habit of wholeness. So let's say you're dealing with a parenting decision. The question we have to ask ourselves is, how can I handle this issue in a way that helps my child become more whole, less broken, less wounded, less depleted? What will strengthen them and fortify them for life and eternity? Let's say that there's a sibling squabble going on. Well, if I want them to have the mindset of the habit of wholeness or working towards wholeness, I might say, Sam, when you did that to your sister, was that building her up or tearing her down? Did you injure your sibling relationship when you made that decision? How can you mend what has been hurt? We want to help the relationship be whole and the other people and ourselves become more whole. So we need to think about that in the decisions we make, in the actions we have, in the attitude we have, in the words we use. So those would be things that we could say to our kids to help them to also adopt this mindset and focus on building one another up. I have a lot more to share with you about wholeness, but that will come in other episodes. I just wanted to bring it up today because I want you to understand the big picture with emotions and managing them well. When we look at helping a person to become more whole, we want to remember that there are four parts of us. I mention this a lot on the podcast. I utilize Luke 2:52 as my basis for so much of the parenting principles that I implement and that I share with you guys. Luke 2:52 is a Bible verse referring to the years that Jesus was growing up on earth. Luke 2:52 says, Jesus grew in wisdom, stature, favor with God, and favor with people. These four areas in which Jesus grew are the four areas of our life: mental, physical, spiritual, and social. So I want to help myself and those around me to become more whole mentally, physically, spiritually, and socially. These would be the areas in which I am being careful to not offend and not injure and not create division or weakness, but I am building up. I am mending. I am helping to heal. We've been looking at the concept of wholeness from the title, Five Steps to Manage Emotions on the Road to Wholeness. And I want to look at those five steps. Step one is stop and identify. Step two, evaluate. Step three, meet the root need. Step four, mend the wounds. Step five, make a plan for maintenance and growth. So let's get into those. As we go through these five steps today, I'm going to use one mom's question as an example for us. In a discussion this week after the last episode aired, a mom said, "I am so short-tempered." She said, "I just get upset about everything so quickly with my kids, and I don't want to, but it keeps happening." Well, I could totally relate to her because that is exactly where I used to be. I still have to manage this emotion in me, and I still struggle and make mistakes with it. But I have grown miles and miles in this area regarding being short-tempered with my kids and really just short-tempered in general. So I'm going to go ahead and use this as my example for today as we go through these five steps. Step number one, stop and identify. Identify what emotion am I feeling right now. Acknowledge that my emotion is influencing the moment. Stop and take a step back. Slow down the moment. Become very aware of what you're doing and what's going on. Remind yourself that this moment needs to fit into your life goals and needs to align with your life principles. Stop and identify. I'm being short-tempered. I need to stop. I need to slow down this moment. Let me say a prayer and get God's help on this. I need to think clearly. I want to remain prayerful, live prayerfully and intentionally as I step through this moment. Maybe stop means going to another room or going outside for a few minutes. Maybe stop means saying, "I need to table this conversation with you until I've had a chance to evaluate my emotions, to get my mind and heart in check before I move forward with this conversation anymore." Okay, so step one was stop and identify. Step two is evaluate. After we stop and identify what emotions am I feeling right now, I want to evaluate those emotions. Let me give you three questions that will help you to evaluate your emotions. And these are the questions that I go through. Question number one, what generally triggers this emotion in me? And what triggered it this time? So regarding short-tempered, for example, I'd ask myself, what tends to make me short-tempered? What triggered me becoming short-tempered this time? If you were struggling with short-tempered and you were asking yourself that question, then maybe you'd say, okay, overwhelm. That's what triggers me being short-tempered. Maybe as a mom, you feel so overwhelmed with needing to manage a whole bunch of different activities and decisions and distractions and chaos at the same time. Or maybe it's feeling hopeless. Like there's so much going on and I don't think I'm going to get any of it right. No matter how hard I try hard every day. And every day things seem to fall apart again. So this feeling of hopelessness that I'm never going to get on top of this. I'm never going to feel like I'm succeeding. Maybe it's coming from a feeling of nobody's listening to me. Maybe you're thinking or feeling, most of the time we don't even consciously realize we're having the thoughts we're having regarding the emotion. But maybe you really are thinking and just don't realize it. I keep telling all of you things, but no one acknowledges what I say. No one tries to help with the goals. No one is being a team player here. Nobody's acknowledging my needs or your responsibilities in this family. So maybe you start feeling that way and that brings on the short-temperedness. Now, all of these things are really good clues for info that we're going to need later on when we're mending, later on when we are getting a game plan for how we're going to deal with these emotions. Answering these questions right here of what causes the emotion, what's the trigger, what was the trigger in this moment, but what is it in general? Maybe what triggers it for you is impatience. That's my biggest culprit for getting quickly irritated. I want to tackle the to-do list quickly, and no one is seeming on board with the fast pace that I want work to be happening in. So I'm frustrated that the kids aren't moving quickly or aren't answering my questions quickly. So that's just another example of what might trigger your emotion of short-temperedness. Okay, there's two more questions to ask in the evaluate step. You want to ask yourself, what do I usually do when I start to feel this way? What does short-tempered response look like usually for me? Is it raising my voice with a harsh tone that immediately sours the atmosphere of the home? Or when I'm short-tempered, do I tend to say sarcastic things that make someone feel small or make them feel like I think they're stupid? Or do I say cutting remarks? You know, harmful words that break the spirit of another person or that wounds their heart? This is a time for being honest with yourself on this question to evaluate what are the different things that I tend to do when I start feeling this emotion. It's very important for us to acknowledge the harm we tend to cause when we are allowing this emotion to drive the car. Remember last week I told you emotions shouldn't be in the trunk of the car. They matter, but they also shouldn't be in the driver's seat. Being honest with ourselves about the damage that we're doing, damage to ourselves or others, when we let the emotion drive our attitude, actions, and words, we need to be honest about the common damage that we're causing when we're allowing that emotion to drive. Acknowledging an emotion in us is not the same thing as giving free rein to that emotion. We need to start seeing that it's two separate things. So we're still on step two, which is evaluate. And we have asked the first question we asked was, what generally triggers me to have this emotion, or also what triggered it in this specific instance? And then secondly, how do I usually respond to this emotion? The third question we're asking is this a healthy response? Is this moving me towards wholeness? Is this hurting me? Is this response hurting other people? Is it moving them toward wholeness, or is it causing further heart injury? Is it moving our relationship towards wholeness, or is it injuring our relationship? If the answers to all of these questions is no, it's not helping me. No, it's not helping them be more whole or our relationship to be more whole. If the answer is no to all of those things, then this evaluation process allows us to recognize the bigness of the problem. It helps us to see the wrong response to that emotion and why it is so very important that we make some changes. As we identify these problems that we're causing, then that gives us added motivation to change the way we're handling that emotion, and is also giving us our action items for the future step of mending the damage and getting a game plan for growth. Okay, let's look at step three. Step three is meet the root need. Get to the root of the problem and work there. So what is the root cause of this emotion? We looked first at evaluating. We looked at what triggers this. But why does it even get triggered to begin with? We've got to get to the root of that. And this is the place in me that needs a lot of attention and needs to get some help. We talked earlier today and many other days on this podcast that we're made up of four parts: mental, spiritual, physical, social. You could go and listen to some other episodes of mine called Root Parenting. Again, in the show notes, I'll list what episodes are about root parenting. So when we want to get to the root of the issue, we want to figure out in which of these four parts is this need rooted. Sometimes it's a combination of more than one. For example, looking back on my short-temperedness as a mom, physical was absolutely a huge role. When I had physical needs, it would trigger short-temperedness. And this is still my main trigger. I didn't know, though, for years, how to take care of me. So I was operating always from a place of depletion, depleted sleep, depleted nutrition, depleted stress relief techniques, depleted in how to handle hormones. So I'm going to say, along with this need to know how to handle stress well physically, also right along with that is the importance of self-care. So we see in scripture that Jesus took time away. Even when the crowd with all of their needs was there, he took time for refilling from God. God is our greatest source for refilling. We also see that Jesus took time to sleep. He was sleeping when they were at sea with a storm so bad that they were all afraid for their lives. Jesus was taking time to sleep. Jesus took time to meet his physical needs. When we as moms take time to meet our needs, that does not mean that we don't care about our family. It means that we recognize how the human person functions best. Side note here, when we are taking good care of ourselves, that's an excellent example for our kids in taking care of themselves. And if we're not taking care of ourselves, we're certainly not setting a good example for them in doing that. Okay, so that's the physical root. We also have a spiritual root. The psalmist wrote, "As my body longs for physical water, so my soul pants for you, O God." Then Psalm 51:12 says, "Restore to me the joy of my salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me." Romans 15:13 says, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." God is our source for filling and sustaining us. There are other things too, of course, that we need in our lives, but right now we're talking about the spiritual root of us, okay? The Bible tells us that when we become a Christian, God comes and lives in us in the form of the Holy Spirit. You've probably heard of the fruit of the Spirit. If we allow the Holy Spirit to reshape our character, we experience gradual growth of the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. There are 9 attributes of the fruit of the Spirit. So listen to these, okay? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. If you or your children struggle with any of those qualities, ask God to grow these in you. I would also encourage you to help with this. Go back and listen to the 2 podcast episodes that I did with our guest, Pam Swanson. We introduce you to her awesome material on how we can be partnered with God in the shaping of our hearts. So go and listen to those for more help on that part. Okay, we've spoken of physical root causes regarding emotional issues, and we have spoken of spiritual root causes for emotional issues. The other 2 roots are mental and social. I want to direct you to 2 more episodes. I will put in the show notes an episode that I have about reshaping the way you think. And that would be part of the mental root. And I'll just say with that, what you're really looking for when you're evaluating these emotions that you have and how you handle the emotions, when it comes to the mental root, you are especially looking for lies in your mind that you are embracing, or it could be a true thing that you're embracing and you're just focusing on it and dwelling on it, and you have assigned that issue into the future too, and said that I'm always going to be this way and you're always going to be this way. And you know, those kind of mental perspectives that are really driving our emotions, driving our actions, attitudes, and words. So evaluating the way that we're thinking, but I will list an episode to help you in reshaping your thinking. And then I also want to redirect you to an episode regarding social, and that is looking at the 8 circles of influence in our lives. And how are the different layers of people in our lives affecting us? Dealing with the social root might mean recognizing that there is someone in our lives who generates a lot of unhealthy emotion in us. How can we improve our boundaries regarding that person? And then over in the game plan step, the final step of this, I better have a game plan for increasing my boundaries regarding that person to protect me mentally or physically or socially or spiritually from the damage that that person might be causing on me that then impacts my emotions and my ability to manage my emotions well. Another thing with dealing with a social root for your emotions might mean that you identify a trauma from your past, some interaction, some relationship situation, some way that a person who you thought was loving mistreated you, for example. And how does that trigger unhealthy emotions in you today? And then again, you're going to use that info in our game plan step in a little bit, you know, that obviously you need a game plan for how you're going to heal regarding that. We'll talk more about that in a minute. This moves us into the 4th step in managing our emotions in a way that leads to wholeness. Step 1 was stop and identify. Step 2 was evaluate. Step 3 was meet the root needs, get to the root cause. Number 4, mend the wounds. what mending do I need to do because of the emotion that I have? Now, if I handle my emotion in a healthy way, then there's obviously not mending to do. But generally, it is our actions, attitudes, or words that bring blessing or bring injury to ourselves, to others, or to our relationships. So in step four, when we're seeking to mend, we want to think, what attitude or actions or words did I have that may have caused injury that needs repair? Let me give you an example that happened today regarding this. Today, Rich and Emma were both home for lunch. I got short-tempered with Rich. I had been talking to Emma about something she did incorrectly, and Rich spoke up, wanting some of the details so that he could participate in the parenting. Well, I got short-tempered with him because in my mind, I was thinking, I've got this. I don't need you to barge into this issue. I've got it. So I snapped at him when he asked for, you know, some question about more information. I was like, I'm not going to give you that right now. So I snapped at him. Then as I was evaluating my emotions afterward, it occurred to me, you know, for years of our parenting, I practically begged him to participate more in the parenting situations. I wanted him to step in and step up and be willing to have hard conversations with the kids. Now, here we are years later, and he is willing to step in and step up and have hard conversations. And what do? I snap at him for participating. Wow, not good. I had some mending to do with him because of that. And sadly, if we don't take the time to evaluate our unhealthy emotional attitude, actions, or words, we may never see how we are mistreating those around us. If we don't see the injury, we certainly won't mend the injury. So let's move to the final step in our five steps to manage our emotions on our road to wholeness. Step five is getting a game plan for management and growth. I have five questions that I work through in order to make a game plan. So number one, what would a healthy response look like? And then secondly, how can I move toward wholeness and help those around me to also grow more whole, less broken, less depleted when this situation happens next time? Is there actually a way this scenario could take place in which it benefits some or all of us? Another question, what help do I need? When you're evaluating your anger, for example, where does your anger fall on a scale of unhealthy? Like for real, if you are saying injurious words to your kids, that cannot continue. You have got to get help. Maybe you need professional help, you know, going to therapy. Maybe you need to read some books on the topic. The next question, what accountability do I need? So when I evaluate this emotion and how I've been handling this emotion in the past, if I have a pattern of unhealthy, then I probably need some accountability at the very least regarding overcoming these negative emotional habits in me. So who in my life can I be accountable with? Maybe that's just, I'm going to start out for 1 week. Can I text you at the end of every day and say how I did with this issue? So after that first week, maybe then you're going to go to twice a week and then once a week and then, you know, just as needed. But is there someone in your life that you can be accountable with about that? And then the final question you want to ask is, what thinking do I need to change? Are there lies that I'm believing in my mind that I'm telling myself? Or am I just taking a negative fact and I am making it so big in my mind that it is harder to overcome rather than easier to overcome? What thinking do I need to change? And what action steps am I going to take to change that? There is an awesome book by John Maxwell called Thinking for a Change. He is one of my favorite authors. Okay, I hope you found all of this helpful. Again, there is a chart that goes through these five steps, and it includes the questions that I went over with you in this episode. You can find that chart on my public Facebook or Instagram pages at Practically Speaking Mom, or in my private Facebook group, Intentional Mom Strong Family, or on my website, practicallyspeakingmom.com, go to the resources page. And then finally, I'll have a link in the show notes. Also in the show notes, you'll find the podcast episodes that I recommend to go along with some of these different topics mentioned today. Now, can you do two things for me? Can you pray for me as I am still working on writing my fifth book, Love Becomes Strength, Answering the Six Questions of Your Child's Heart at Every Age? I'm just so passionate about getting this information out to everyone in a book form, but the process is going so slowly because I'm a mom of seven and I'm a grandma of four and I'm a wife and I do a weekly podcast and I homeschool my youngest daughter, the only one still at home. It's just making my book process go slow, and please pray that I will be able to make good progress in that. Okay, secondly, if you want more people to benefit from this content, share an episode on Facebook or Instagram and leave a review if you would be willing to do that. Thanks for joining me here each week on the Practically Speaking Mom podcast. This is Val Harrison, and I sure enjoy my time with you as we together are intentional moms building strong families. See you Monday.